This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Hot Beam.
Oh, buddy, I'm running hot today.
There you are.
H-O-T-T-O-G-O. Does that mean anything to you?
H-O-T-T-O-G-O.
You can
hot dog?
Take me hot to go.
Hot dog.
Chapel Roan?
I'm aware of Chapel Roan. I don't know if I've ever
That's
heard
one of her, songs.
Her music.
That's one of her songs.
Okay.
I have three girls in my house.
Yeah.
I have a wife. I am Chapel Roaned all the way.
Good for you.
I've been Chapel pilled.
Yeah.
Roan pilled? Whatever the pilling. I'm getting pilled.
Yeah.
I've taken the Chapel Roan pill. I actually
You're
was
getting Roanied.
A few weeks ago. About a few months ago now, I went to Louisville for a concert to see one of my hardcore bands,
yep.
Knocked Loose, Arf Arf, Max Arfston's favorite band.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. But when I was there, she was playing the Pride Fest that was in Louisville that same day. Yeah. I had no idea. I get home and tell my kids this, and it was like I told them I took the dog outside and threw him in front of traffic. Like, it was just like, what? You went to Louisville with Chapel Roan and you didn't take us? I'm like, I didn't know she was there.
I didn't see her.
I wasn't even aware. I didn't go. I was at a concert where they were like, arf, arf. And then they just ran into each other for 3 hours. That's where I was.
Although similar to a Chapel Roan concert.
I would love to go see Chapel Roan. She's incredible. I think her music's great. I've listened to her album. Fantastic.
I'll listen on the drive home.
She's great. Good pop music, if you like. And anyway. So I don't know how we started there, but welcome in. We have lots to talk about. We have soccer big time for this Columbus Crew team. We will talk about winning another trophy and then I think doing something just as impressive 3 days later.
Yeah.
We will also talk quite a bit about Champions League because the draw is coming and there is a new format that you need to be reminded of because it's weird. And Beam's got all the math and details on that.
Yep. Coefficient expert.
You are the coefficient man.
Mm-hmm.
I always think he's a coefficient lad. If we need a lad with coefficients, he's the
guy. I'm the guy for it.
And also, we're going to have a discussion about all-time greats for the Columbus Crew because I think we need to put that all in perspective. But let's start with the main thing, which is, of course, the Crew have now another trophy to add to the case. It is a ridiculous-looking trophy in the League's Cup. One of the widest trophies I've ever... It's a girthy trophy.
It's a nice-looking... I don't even know what it's like a double cup.
It's a
mirrored cup.
It is. That's exactly.
It's a mirrored cup.
It's almost like a mirrored bowl.
Yeah.
It's so wide. It's like a fruit
there's
bowl.
There's no base of a cup. I mean, it's
no.
like a.
No, a cup has
it's
no
a double
base.
Chalice.
Yeah, that's it. You know what it does? If it was like hand sized, you're right. It would very much look like a chalice with a mirrored.
Yeah. It's like an hourglass.
But it's like as big around as a barrel.
It's huge.
So, yeah. I mean, you can put. I saw like Christian Ramirez put his young son in that trophy, which he also did with MLS Cup.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you could probably put a 4-year-old or 5-year-old in that thing. They'd have, it's like a swimming pool for an infant. That's incredible. So, but League's Cup, they took it off of LAFC again. LAFC, Denny Bawanga was saying, hey, this time it's going to be different. Well,
we want revenge.
No, you're right. It was different. We scored another goal.
Yeah.
It's 3-1 instead of 2-1. Go home. Don't ever come back.
Long flight.
What is that? Combined now? 10-3?
I think 2-1, 5-0, and 3-1.
Oh, yeah. Was it 5-0 or 5-1? I feel like they got one back in that. Whatever it was, we scored 10 goals on them to their 2 or 3,
yeah,
whatever it is.
It was 3, I'm pretty sure.
Steve Cherundolo, you'll remember, we talked about it at the time, comes up every time we play them. After MLS Cup, he said, well, you know, they give him credit, this and that, all the lip service stuff. And then he said, but I still think we're the better team on this. I thought we were the better team. It's like, great. Well, now you've got your ass handed to you 3 straight times. Now what do you have to say?
Just got so tired, too. And I know it's the league's perspective. And they want the big market teams to be the big market teams. I get that. I understand that you and I do sports radio for a living. I realize that small to mid-market teams are never going to get as much publicity. They're never going to get the run. They're never going to get the hype. But the talking of, like, oh, they're America's team, and like this is the cream of the crop, and MLS, and all these different things. What were they, 22-1 this year? Something crazy. Like, they've been awesome.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is the future of American soccer. And I'm like, it's not.
No,
it's not. No, they're good. But
they're amazing.
You came here again and you're talking about revenge. And there was no aspect of like, hey, the Crew have been on a tear so far. They got to the final of CONCACAF Champions Cup. And then, if you want to add into the mix as well, the game that happened last December, and I think it was somewhere through the first half where the Crew hadn't scored a goal yet. They were awesome. I mean, just throwing the ball all around the midfield. Like, LA couldn't touch them. And the announcer for the game's like, I mean, eerily similar to what we saw in December, like where they are chasing ghosts.
Yes.
He said it on the broadcast, like LA right now, they are chasing ghosts on the field right now.
It is unreal to watch this team. And even from that perspective, like we can get into breaking down the game and we will, but I just want to take a big picture moment here and think about this. Cause your point is so good about how Major League Soccer has tried to force the narrative of LAFC
in Miami.
And Miami and select other teams from time to time. And I think what makes me so proud to be a Crew fan, I mean, I always will be, even if at some point we become the LAFC. I don't, like you said, I don't think that ever will happen.
No.
Because there will always be some other big fresh shiny, team or a new object or a big star that comes in. By the way, like I was just thinking of St. Louis. Remember when St. Louis came in? It was like, oh, St. Louis, the future of American soccer. And then now they're just like, oh, yeah, you're one of those mid-market, meh, good luck. Like, Austin, how you feeling, right? Are you the darlings anymore? You haven't been a darling since you basically stole your team,
right?
Like, unless you're one of these three or four big cities, and then you have to be a, like, New York Red Bulls, do they get any love?
No.
It all goes to New York City
Philadelphia,
FC.
Philadelphia, do they get any love?
Philly didn't get any love.
Houston?
Right. No, they don't care. They care about legitimately if you've got a super team. And you have to have the right stars.
Even
and
the Galaxy now, it's like, no,
and they're one
news.
Of the best. They're one of the best teams in MLS.
Right.
They've been very good this year. And yet, it's not LAFC. And what I wanted to speak to was organic versus AstroTurf, right? And LAFC, the black and gold, you already had one of those. MLS tried to make them the black and gold. The Crew have been the original, as Supporter Supply, we love those guys over there. Morgan, Kevin, they do a great job. Shrek, they're all just awesome. That whole group over there is fantastic. I think I named the entire company right there. But they're like shirt, the original black and gold.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing, right? You can't ever change the fact that the Crew were your black and gold team in MLS. And so when they face off against LAFC, organically, that name came around because the Crew are black and gold. That's the team. That's what they've been. They tried to put a new black and gold up there, and how's that working out for you?
Good. It's good. It's fine.
They're a talented bunch.
Yeah.
But they can't beat the action. They can't. It's a metaphor for life. Like, the fake thing, the secondary derivative thing will never truly overtake the organic real thing when it comes to people who know.
Yeah.
Right? You can get fluff. You can get an accolade. You can get media impress. But, like, the organic real thing is what matters, I feel like, anyway. And I feel like the Crew represent that in that little matchup. And it's nice to see that swinging our way for three straight games.
I tell you what, I respect the hell out of some of their fans for coming to Columbus for this game.
Oh, I do, especially after getting
3 days notice.
Kicked it.
Three days notice. You come here for a fabricated cup.
And you lost the last one that you came here for.
I pay them a ton of credit for traveling across the country to come see their team.
I agree with you 100%. They are real fans. I totally agree with that. The other thing I was going to say, isn't it fun how LAFC is also like the Crew are just better at them at everything they're doing.
Yeah.
Like what is the LAFC? If you look through their roster, it's like, oh, this guy who's French. Oh, that guy who's French. Oh, this guy who played in the French league. Oh, this guy who's from France or has a lot of ties to France. And then you look at the Crew and it's like, well,
Wilfried Nancy, the French. Best French person,
the best
out of the bunch
thing that you've got from France in MLS since Thierry Henry, probably that's him. And then on our team, Steven Moreira played in the French league, French dude. You've got Rudy Camacho, mm-hmm. right? Another guy who's like
Sean Bust. Haven't seen him yet, but
well, he played a little bit last night, but it's one of those things where they're trying to like make a French powered super team happen with Olivier Giroud and all the, oh, look at the big star. Right. And then you're getting beat by like the MLS team. It's like, yeah, but we just got better players for what you need to do in the league.
Yeah.
And so, no, we didn't spend so much to get some of these names that you've heard, but also we got better players. We just got dudes who can get it done.
Like, I mean, and you and I know this because we have watched soccer and have talked about soccer for a long time. Like, they were making such a big deal, and rightfully should, because his scoring record is impeccable, and he did score in this final off a header. I'm like, that's what Olivier Giroud does. There was a point, I think it was in the first half, where he's like, he's running. I don't know who's running beside him, but it's like, because he's obviously marked.
Yes.
And maybe it was Camacho, or maybe it was Moreira, like, even, like, covering the field to mark him. And I'm just, like, laughing. I'm like, this guy possesses no threat to get behind your defense. So, like, LAFC wants to counterattack. I'm like, I know Denny Bawanga's pretty good. They're good on the wings. I'm like, they're not going to have anyone in the middle. What is? And
no.
He's not doing hold-up play. Like, he's trying to run into the box. I'm like, that's not going to work.
It made no sense.
I'm like, it's not. Dude. And so if that was honestly the strategy for Steve Cherundolo, like, oh, Olivier Giroud, he's going to be darting into the box. I'm like, you're already beat. Like,
oh,
if that's going to be,
cooked.
And I know that they like to do, they do. They like to play the counter. And
well, they have, I mean, teams realize they have to almost do that against the Crew, because if you try to possess the ball against
dead.
The Crew, you're not going
dead.
To beat them. The Crew almost, it's like, let them have the ball, and then let's try to get them out of position. Because if you try to, like, play the Crew out of position with the ball, they will smoke you.
Yeah.
It's their high press is so good. The Crew high press to a point that other teams just can't handle it. And so then they have to, like, say, fine, you have the ball. We hope you make a mistake and we'll counter you. And then you're running out a giraffe to go try to be your guy on the counterattack.
Like, it
it's
just
not
doesn't
gonna
make
work.
Any, didn't make any sense to me.
No. And I'm not saying that they can't go out and then win a bunch of other MLS games, but
right.
they've got nothing right now for what Wilfried Nancy.
Nothing.
Like,
nothing.
Dude.
I don't know if anybody does.
American soccer needs to worship at Wilfried Nancy's feet and thank him. Because remember when the Cherundolo stuff was just starting to bubble up and it was like on the eve of that five whatever drubbing?
National team coach.
Yeah, hey, he could be your new national team coach.
He said, I'll be here at training tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is like what he said.
Yeah.
Because it was a Friday
yeah.
presser. Or a Thursday presser.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm expecting, I will be at training tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we were starting to go there, and then the Crew
and then
went
the
in.
LA.
Just the Wilfried Nancy train just right through that
sucker.
Well, that
sucker. Showed you. It's like, imagine if you had that guy on the national team
yeah.
level. You have the Crew to thank for that. You have organic, real soccer to thank for that. Not 100% organic. Go to the grocery store, you pay more, and you get better. That's what the Crew did, except it doesn't cost more. Somehow we're doing it on the cheapo budget. We're getting the GMO budget, but we're getting organic results. I love it.
It's because we're the farmers. That's why.
That's well, you know, cornfield.
Yeah.
Did you hear about corn sweat, by the way?
I have. I love it.
I didn't know that corn sweat was a thing until
this
week.
That's why it's so humid, because the corn releases.
This is the time of year where corn is like
carbon dioxide into the air.
It's releasing. Yeah, it's moisture.
Yeah.
Water. They say it's an acre of corn releases 4,000 gallons of water per day into the atmosphere. And how many hundreds of thousands of acres do we have around here?
You can go, and I'm pretty sure of this, 10 minutes any direction in the state, you will find a cornfield.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
If not 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're going to be.
Oh, I agree.
I don't even know, Warsaw the other weekend for my fishing trip. I was 20 minutes from my house. I was in the middle of nowhere. I live in the city. I'm like, I've never been here before. This place isn't real.
It's amazing,
it's
20 right?
minutes outside of my house.
Living in, like, I grew up near, like, Canal Winchester, and it's like, you drive 5 minutes one yeah. way, and you're like, I'm in hill country.
I got out past Johnstown, and I'm like, didn't know that there were Amish people so close to Columbus. Like, I just didn't.
They're P1s. They're
yeah,
listening
they
to us. They got a generator or something that's allowing them to listen to our radio. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so, like, not to go off on that tangent of just organic versus the fake stuff that LAFC and MLS tries to do all the time, but, like, this is what, to me, is the essence of being a Crew fan, is that you are rooting for a club that, whatever you think of Mickey Mouse League MLS, whatever you think of Don Garber, whatever you think of how this league started and how it almost failed and how it kind of has come back, all of that, there is nothing more real in MLS than the Columbus Crew.
Yep.
Nothing. No one entity is more of a genuine article. You can argue, like, Kansas City or LA Galaxy or some of these other clubs that have been there too, they also have a right to that discussion. But the Crew are in there. They are the original club. They are the first club with the first draft pick of Brian McBride, all that history that we talk about. So if that's what you dig, then this is your club. And that's what I love about this team. So seeing them then go up against a physical manifestation of the fake stuff that MLS always tries to build up and throw at you and be like, no, this is who we are now. This is version 8.7. We don't know, whatever we are. Crew are still version 1.0, and they have evolved throughout the years, and they are still the best. And that's what I just, our iteration keeps growing. They're still trying to find an identity at LA. So good luck with that.
See you in MLS Cup final here in a few minutes.
It might be. Might be a rematch again. Beat them, what, four times in a calendar year? That could be a thing.
With three cups on the line? That'd be fun.
No kidding. That was just, as far as the game itself went, I think you covered it. Like, their style, what they wanted to do. Denny Bouanga is dangerous and tough, and I respect the hell out of him. I think he's a tremendous player. They're loaded. It's not like they are a bad team, but I just feel like the Crew see it. They know how to handle it. And Wilfried Nancy is not plussed by any of it. And all the players now, no one's worried about making mistakes. Everyone's trying stuff. Cucho scores a header for you.
Yeah.
One of the shorter.
Like a dunk header, too.
Yeah. One of the shorter guys on the field.
He's 5'9".
Dropping in a header for you. Like, that's.
On an unbelievable. By the way, Mo Farsi.
Dude.
Take a bow.
Again, the amount of players. How many times. I think Wilfried Nancy's, like, magic is that. He just knows how to unlock players when regular Crew fans, regular soccer fans are like, I don't get this dude. Wilfried Nancy is like, oh, I do.
I understand. I'm just fine.
Just wait. Like, that's.
He was running like a madman.
Well, yeah.
I know he always does.
Farsi is just, you know what? We have a letter here I'll get to. We got an email from someone who in the email said, protect Farsi at all costs. And it's 100% right. But like Mo Farsi, great on that particular play. I'm trying to remember who else was out there with him that made the little 1-2 where they switched it back and forth. But it was just excellent. It was an excellent possession. It was everything you want from this Crew team. And then, of course, Cucho finishes it off because you have class. You have a guy at the top that you know can go get a goal. And then they obviously had to absorb quite a bit. They let that goal in, which sucked. How about the decision to let Nico Hagan start and goal? And I don't know if you watched any of the pregame, but I was watching the – because I don't know why, but this was my Sunday evening. I was like, I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Zumbezi Bay all day, and I said, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm
done.
I'm wiped.
Yeah.
So I made the call like at 1 o'clock while we were at Zumbezi Bay. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do this. So we didn't get the tickets. But go home, got pizzas out, we're ready to go. I'm sitting there half an hour before the game. I got my pizza, my drink, I'm ready to go. And I'm watching this pregame, and they are just talking about Nico Hagan starting. And I think it was Sasha Kljestan, if I'm not mistaken, on the broadcast, who said, if I were a player, I'd be pissed because you have a final here. You have a big cup. You have a trophy on the line. And LAFC is going to put out their top line roster. And you're bringing in a backup at goalie. And your keeper is a guy who's been in the national team picture now and played in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And he started the last two games. If I'm a player, I'm saying, I hate this because you're giving us not as good a chance to win. And I just had to kind of smile because what has everyone said about the brilliance of Wilfried Nancy when it comes to players is that he lets you make mistakes.
Yeah.
He believes that everyone on this roster can participate and can play. He doesn't put guys on this roster that suck. So when he tells that and he says, I believe anyone on this roster can do the job.
I think it would galvanize the team more
exactly.
than anything.
Exactly. It was like just a great, and no offense to Sasha Kljestan. He knows soccer. I'm just saying, I think he missed that because he's not, most of these guys just don't hear everything Wilfried Nancy says all the time, but we as Crew fans do.
Mm-hmm.
And you get it now. It's like, this guy genuinely believes all this. He's not just saying it for fluff. He doesn't say this.
He can't just say it and then not put it into practice.
No. I mean, how many sports figures have you seen? Like, hey, man. I believe in every guy on our roster. And then it's like he rolls out crunch time. It's like the same four or five dudes that always do everything.
Well, that guy needs to do his job better. He throws him under the bus.
Right. Yeah. It's like I believe Wilfried Nancy when he says that, like, I have faith in all the guys in the roster, like, I believe him because he shows it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Nico Hagan had the greatest game ever, but he did enough. Yeah. And, had a goal go in against him. But
it's Olivier Giroud off a corner and a bulldozer coming in.
Well, and also,
on a set play.
Yeah. Go figure.
That doesn't have anything to do with the ball coming in, but
no, but it didn't. Still. But they didn't help with the defense around at the time. Like, I mean, you could easily
talk about goalie errors. We can talk about one that happened in the 92nd minute.
Oh, no kidding, dude.
Good old Hugo. Very Spursy. Very Spursy.
Yeah, Spurs fans, I'm sorry if you had terrible flashbacks to seeing errors there. But
sorry, that was a mean shot.
Well, you know what, though? And here's what, this is a good time to bring this email in. So Paul sent us an email. Paul listens to us, and he sent us this. It's an email called League's Cup game-winning goal. He said, hey, T-Bone, huge fan, long time, first time, all that. I love Bone and Beam United. Wanted to pass on an observation I had about Cucho's game winner in the League's Cup. I appreciate Cucho curling that ball in a dangerous area. Agree with Twelman's take. A ball like that is hard for Hugo Lloris to see. However, totally. I am putting the blame there directly and 100% on Aaron Long. As that ball comes across, Long is marking Russell Rowe and in decent position. However, instead of cutting him off or challenging in the air, Long decides to two-hand shove Russell Rowe in the chest and out of the path of the ball. Not an egregious push, and it took him out of the play. Lloris, however, is standing there expecting a redirect, expecting
totally
a shot,
is.
Anything. There's no way he's expecting what was turned into essentially a dummy by Russell Rowe or a ball at this level of play getting through untouched. It bums me out as much as I've been a longtime hater of Aaron Long for his lazy shortcut style defending. And plays like that make me pray that he's never anywhere near wearing a U.S. men's national team kit again. Great call.
Yeah.
Great observation. Well, thank you, Paul, for that email.
Like, even in live time, too, when the ball is floated up, I mean, you can see it. Someone's getting their head onto the ball. Either Long or Jason Russell Rowe are going to get there. Now, the way that they're running, it would be tough to get it
kind of,
you know, back post just with the angle and everything. I mean, they're running near post on an angle. Like, it would have to be a glancing blow.
And
not to say that Jason Russell Rowe couldn't do that, but it did look to be when that ball was mid-flight that somebody was getting something on that ball, and then it disappeared, like on the camera angle, it disappeared. And then you see the Nordic go nuts, and I'm like, oh my god,
it looked like Hugo Lloris too is just standing there going like again, I can understand people saying, why didn't he go out and attack that and try to get
but
to
it was
it?
Weird because it wasn't floated like
no,
he hit with
he,
enough
was,
pace, well, and it wasn't super high. Like, the reaction time would have to be, I mean, immediate for him to get off his line and go get it. But it's not like, I mean, it ever reached, like, 20 feet in the air. Like, it was kind of a low,
well, that's the thing.
Weird, spinny shot. It,
like, Cucho hit kind of a stinger towards, like, to use a golf term, right? Like, he hit a low kind of
it was
flat
definitely
shot.
A cross.
Yeah, 100%. Sure. But he knew, and this dude, Cucho plays these type of passes so often.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this with the Philly game too, but like he just makes passes where he did it early in League's Cup too, where he hit one like 40 yards diagonal. And it's like, no one else is hitting this but him on the field tonight. And he's your nine. And of course, Twelman on the broadcast, like there is no number nine like him in MLS. And I don't know if he said in the world, but I know it's not in MLS. And he's dead on. Like the Crew have an absolute gem in this guy. And the fact that he seems to be surviving the summer transfer window. I don't want to say it. Let's let it all happen. But like
he said, we have another cup final coming up next month.
He did. And I don't think he's planning on going anywhere.
No,
but
he loves it here.
Yeah, man. Why wouldn't
we love him?
He is so awesome at this, but that pass is the type of pass that it's smart. Cause he's thinking, if I've got to get on the end of a header, I don't want it to be a big high looping shot that then I've got to give all the momentum to. I want it to be a stinger that basically if I get my forehead to glance it, it goes straight
in. And something happens.
Or goes towards the net. Yeah. There's no chance it doesn't go towards the net with pace.
And if nobody gets onto it,
well,
I can
that
fake the goalie out and it's going to bounce 6 inches in front of him and go in the net.
That, again, it looked weird, but I think Paul did a great job explaining that because I too was like at first looking at it going, why did he not move? But it's because he's thinking there's going to be a redirection, and he's probably thinking, like you said, it's going to my right side, not to my left. And so he's probably leaning that way, and then the ball just bounces and goes in untouched like it was a perfect shot. And
then pandemonium ensued. He takes off his shirt, throws it 16 rows in the stand. I give a lot of credit to your guy, Alex Maton, for like looking at the fan and be like, we need that shirt. We still have 2 minutes left to go in this game.
Yeah.
Then obviously LA presses and he's on a hat trick. Cucho had every right in the world, even when the defender stepped to him to take the defender on and shoot that shot. But the fact that he then just lays it off to JRR, who puts in a great.
It's not an easy finish.
No. I love his post-game comments, too. He's like, he's a killer. I mean, I knew that he was going to make that shot. Cucho said that about Jason Russell Rowe.
Cucho, this is what I'm talking about, is it's not just that he's good at soccer. It's that he's good at soccer. He understands the team dynamic. He doesn't care if it's all him getting the glory. He'll get plenty of it, right? Mm-hmm. But like, you see him celebrating when Diego Rossi scores, and Diego Rossi, you know, again, we didn't talk much about him yet, but you don't get to this point if you don't have six goals in three games from him. Yeah. And again, why is that happening? Is if Cucho's not there, does it make it a little harder for a guy like him? Sure. But he's capitalizing on the defense having to account for Cucho, mm-hmm. and he is obviously great in his own right. The two of them seem to not be at odds. They seem to get along very well, and they have an understanding on the field. And that now that's leaking over to the other forwards, too, who are all saying, hey, I can get mine. I can all be a part of this, even if I'm not even scoring any
Christian
game.
Ramirez had an unbelievable opportunity from a
– Oh, was it a I know. I felt bad for him.
Was it Cucho? Like the one?
I feel like it was. Yeah, I could be wrong. But, no, that was point-blank, dead in front, and it just sucked that it went right to Hugo
Lloris. I don't know who it was who flipped that ball.
I feel like you're right that it
but whatever it was, I mean, it was a vertical, like, through ball. I mean, he literally picked it straight off the foot, lifted it over the defense. Ramirez is in on net.
Yes. Yeah.
And he hits it right at Hugo Lloris.
Yeah.
But still.
It sucked. That was tough. But, no, I mean, I've seen Cucho make plays with the ball that, like, Guillermo Barros-Skelotto is the only guy I've seen make some of these passes for the Crew in all my years of watching.
This is not him.
But, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Before we do the Cucho talk, because there was there was something that was pretty interesting for me brought up by one of my co-hosts. I did see this stat about Wilf, and I think we can all acknowledge that we're living in the best era of Crew soccer, right? I mean, the best.
Yeah. It's the best run that we've seen.
The
golden years, yes, of course.
And I saw Tom Bogert, who does a really good job covering soccer. This was after the semifinal. After the quarterfinal. So Columbus Crew advance to the League's Cup semifinal, just doing what they do at home under Wilfried Nancy. They've only lost 41 games. They've only lost two of 41 games at lower.com field across all competitions. They're now 27-12-2 with a plus 57 goal differential at home under Wilfried Nancy. Adding those two games in the semifinal and then the final, of course, against Philly and then LAFC, they are now 29-12-2 with a plus 61 goal differential at home at lower.com field under Wilfried Nancy.
That's unbelievable. It's a run we've, it's rare that we've ever seen the Crew or any MLS team play like this. I am of the opinion we are watching the best, the last couple of years. This is the best Major League Soccer team assembled I have ever seen.
So that brings me to my next point, because we were talking about this on our morning show, and you know, the co-host who works with me, Bob, is not necessarily the biggest soccer fan in the world, but he will watch big Crew games, and he's watching this game, and he goes, is Cucho, he asked me, he goes straight up, he goes, where does Cucho rank for you in, like, pantheon of all-time great Crew players? And I was, like, taken aback by the question. I'm like, that's such a big question, and it's kind of, I explained it to him. I'm like, Bob, I've only really been locked in on the Crew for, like, 5 years. I don't really have an answer for you, but then it took me like an hour and a half, and I'm like thinking, like, during the breaks, I'm like, okay, I mean, I know that we've got, you know, like Brian McBride, OG guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, even like Lucas in his time, it's like, that was one of the more special players that we've seen. And then Stern John came to mind, and Guillermo, and like Frankie Hayduk, right? Like, guys who the best. I'm like, well, Frankie was never the most talented. He just ran his ass off and was a dude. He was also supremely talented.
One of the best defenders you'll ever see. One of the best U.S. national team defenders we've ever had. Sure.
And then at the end of our show, I looked at him. I'm like, to answer your question, he was like, what question? I was like, the Crew question. He goes, I asked you that at like 7:15. It's now 8:56. I'm like, I know. I'm like, just to answer your question, I think my answer is Cucho.
Yeah.
Everything that he is capable of doing, he is the best player on the best run of form that this club has ever seen since their inception. It would be hard for me to argue against why Cucho would not be like the best Crew player of all time.
No, I agree with you. And here is where, so the 08-09 run, which of course was the first MLS Cup run, but don't forget, they won two supporter shields in 08 and 09, back-to-back Supporter Shield winners. You know, FC Cincinnati doesn't know what that's like, but you can actually win the Supporter Shield and win MLS Cup. You can do the whole thing, not just part of it. Crew did that one of those years. So in that run, right, they had two of those and an MLS Cup. That's three trophies in 2 years. Crew, this Crew
two
version.
Two Shields, one trophy.
Yeah, two Shields, one trophy, fair. This Crew iteration has not quite yet. Well, I guess they had Campeones Cup last year, right?
2021.
Oh, wait, that was not last year. That was a few years ago. Okay, well, you could be getting a third trophy now if you win Campeones Cup when you play it in September. You obviously still have Supporter Shield, not out of the question, and, of course, MLS Cup. So they could hoist more hardware than that team. But to me, that 08-09 team was the best 2 to 3 year run we'd ever seen of the Crew, and they lost in the playoffs. I don't want to talk about it. It still hurts. But that was a run where the whole team was really good. MLS was just a different beast back then. Like, you had David Beckham coming over, and it was like the biggest thing in the world. And yet, you know, and more stars were kind of making their way. The designated player era had begun by that point, but it's not like it is now. You did not have teams bringing in 3 or 4 guys that were all making over $5 to $10 million like you do now. Like, there's no way a team like the Crew would be having Diego Rossi, Cucho Hernandez, let alone all the other teams in MLS that are doing stuff like that. So, to your point, I agree with you. I think Cucho is the... I'll add this caveat. I think Cucho is the best player we've ever had in a Crew uniform, with the caveat of, I'm not saying his resume.
Sure.
Like, Guillermo Barros Schelotto played a ton of games at Boca Juniors, and if we had him at the time of age that Cucho Hernandez is, if we had 25, 26, 27-year-old Guillermo Barros Schelotto, he would probably have been as good or better than, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
He played at Boca Juniors during that time. That's a different era. That's a different level. I mean, he's playing with Riquelme and some of these other badasses. Like,
yeah, guys.
I can't compare that. But what I can compare is what I saw when they were in Crew uniforms. I've never seen a better player in a Crew uniform than him. McBride is obviously up there. McBride, though, again, playing in an era where I just think it was different. But we know his quality. He went on and played in the Premier League for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And that guy who could have been playing in the Premier League was playing with the Crew. When he was 20, 21, 22, he could
have
killed it in the Premier League, but he was here.
Same thoughts about Darlington, too. I mean, if we...
Well, that's why I say you may have 1A might also be on this team in Darlington Nagbe. He's last night I'm watching him when he came into that game against Philly.
By the way, he gets beat up every game.
Dude, he gets beat up, but also there was a moment they had scored the goal. You know, they had the super subs that all come on. They scored Yao Yeboah, who love his story, right? Yeah. Getting MLS Cup, kind of been shuffled out of the lineup here because of Max Arfston coming on playing, but now they got all these wingers and wingbacks, and he doesn't see the field as much. Comes on, big goal. First win for the Crew in Philly since 2015.
Crazy.
First points since, like, 2018.
Crazy.
Last time we got points there, and then last time we won was 2015. Anyway, great story. But Darlington gets the ball after that goal is scored. In our half, he's in his own 18. Mm-hmm. There are 3 or 4 Philly players, like, ready to pounce, and he just, like, turns out of all of them. They all try to chop him. They can't get him. He turns away and makes an outlet, and then up we go. And it's like, that's the play that there are maybe 2 or 3 Crew players in history who would be able to do that.
It's not on any highlights either.
He does it every GD night. Like, every day you watch him, he's going to have 4 or 5 jaw-dropping displays of, I'm in trouble. The ball should be off my foot. Someone should be either taking it away or fouling me. And he doesn't get contact and dribbles out and makes an outlet pass and the Crew get going. That is the value
and
that he
brings. If he does get contact, that's his goal. And
And then he has another, like 6 or 7 times where he just absorbs contact, gets up, keeps going. One of the grittiest players we've ever had. One of the most skilled players we've ever had. His vision is unreal. And He is a rock back there. But I am going to say Cucho is the best player just because there's just a high premium on goals. And every position is very valuable, but you got to score goals at the end of it. So for me, Cucho is the best. I don't think you're wrong. And it took me like an hour just to make that point. So don't feel bad.
Whatever it is, enjoy it.
I
think we are enjoying it very much so.
Well, I can confidently say this. If you're someone who's heard people like me talk about the 08-09 era and that Siggy Schmid era and all that stuff and say, man, that team in 08 was something special. And you're like, gosh, I wish I could have seen that. I don't know if you are seeing now something that it gives me the same, everything that I had from that 08-09 team and then some is what I'm getting from this current run that we have. Yeah. Like it is, you are watching the best era, I think, of Columbus Crew teams, but you are certainly watching one of the greatest MLS teams ever. Like, there's no question in my mind that they are, you put them up against any roster in MLS and they probably go toe to toe. And if I'll tell you,
you're talking like history.
Yeah. I'm saying you go find a, I don't know, whoever, whatever roster you want to give me. If you want to give me like Seattle Sounders, you know, at their peak, mm-hmm. or if you want to give me some of those LA Galaxy teams from the mid 2000s or whatever, like fine. I'd put them all in their primes, but go back in the time machine, put these guys on the field with them. And I think they smoke whoever it is. And I am also convinced more than ever, you play that CONCACAF Champions Cup final anywhere in the continental United States.
Other than Pachuca?
The continental U.S. I don't know. Oh. Like, I'm saying, if you don't have to deal with, like, whatever, however you can get food poisoning from maybe something in the chicken or the water or whatever it was, like, all I know is if they don't get dysentery, this is their third trophy.
Yeah.
And I will say that 08-09 team never competed on the continent the way this team did. So that's... You didn't get to a final. You didn't, no.
And perhaps the world.
Well, that's, I can't believe MLS, well, I can. MLS just doesn't give us any updates on what they're going to do with the FIFA Club World Cup.
But don't, I mean, we know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, we probably do. So for those who don't know this, FIFA Club World Cup, CONCACAF gets four spots based on performance. Those four spots have been filled. Right, Pachuca winning Champions Cup was the last spot getting filled. If Monterrey had won it, Monterrey already was in, so then that would have been another spot open. However, because CONCACAF is the host nation, they get a host nation spot that isn't tied to any necessarily performance, but it's thought that they will try to tie it to somebody who's been excellent. And the only thing we can get, I mean, I, you know what this is, Beam. I know what this is. They're trying to find a way to put Lionel Messi in this thing and put Inter Miami in this thing because they want to.
I do think it's funny because at the beginning, before Leagues Cup, so if we go back to when we recorded after the CONCACAF Champions Cup,
yeah,
I think you and I were both lockstep. They're like, we said, hey, whoever wins Leagues Cup is going to get in unless it's not Miami.
Right.
Then they will move the goalpost.
Yeah.
And then it will be, hey, whoever wins Supporter Shield, unless it's not Miami.
Right.
Hey, whoever wins MLS Cup, unless it's not Miami. Yeah. Well, they were going to move the goalpost so much and just try to find a way to put them in there. And listen, I understand it. That's how the league has spent millions and millions of dollars on Lionel Messi, including the Crew. I mean, the Crew money to bring him over to assist financially into doing that.
Wild to think that that's a thing. But yes.
Very crazy to think about. But it's so strange to me that there has been this mythological extra spot for CONCACAF to have another spot in the Club World Cup, which is next summer. And again, that is a $50 million prize that whatever team is going to represent CONCACAF in that is a $50 million prize that you get for just being in the tournament.
Yeah.
So there's just this extra spot hanging out there, and we've heard nothing about it.
Nothing.
Like, we haven't even heard that the Crew are in the running for it.
Yeah.
Like, we have no clue what the standard is.
You know what? I'm actually going to do journalistic integrity. I'm going to reach out as a broadcaster in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to send in an email to the PR, Dan Cortemanche, PR guru for MLS / lackey of Don Garber. I'm going to send an official email saying, hi, does the league have any response to the question of who will be in the Club World Cup? Have they made a decision on that, or when will the decision be coming?
Or when will the qualification?
Yeah, when will the the qualification?
What are the parameters?
What's the parameter of qualifying for this spot?
Yeah.
Because there was reporting from The Athletic, I want to say, the only thing we've heard that's even been floated out there is that it might be a competition between the Supporters Shield winner and the winner of MLS Cup.
Win them both.
Could you imagine if the Crew are just like, hey, we have all these trophies, Don. And he's like, yes, but do you have any World Cup veterans? Because we've decided just now that if you don't have a guy who's been in multiple World Cup finals, actually, then you can't be going.
Actually, that would be LAFC because they have Lloris and Olivier Giroud.
That's right.
So they would then usurp Miami.
Yeah, that's probably how that'll work. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Champions League draw, it's weird. And also, one of our black and gold lads is already, we talked about him last week, Aiden Morris, beloved in England. More evidence of that now. We will tell you why next. Listening to Bone and Beam United. You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. I'm not sure how Paul, who sent us the email, how he may have just emailed me through the website because I think our emails are there. But you can find my email or Beam's email. They're both on there. And you can email us as well if you'd like to. But Twitter's always good. We're trying to update the Twitter. Usually Beam's the one doing it, but occasionally I jump in. Although you sent something out the other day. I don't remember what it was. And people were like, oh, Bone's running the Twitter today. And I was like, actually not.
Actually
didn't know he posted it.
I said we've always been big leagues cup guys.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That is exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Champions League draw is upon us.
That's dumb.
Beam, help me out with this, because I'm not even totally familiar with what the requirements
are. All right, so it's a new format for Champions League. Traditionally, and again, this is a learning process for all of us, so don't yell at me if I get it wrong. This is the first time in, I want to say, like 16 or 20 years that they have changed the format of Champions Leagues. Traditionally, what it is there are 8 groups of 4, all right? And you just play normal home and away schedule. That's it. 1 against 1. You play 6 games in the group stage.
Yeah, because it's a home and away for the three other teams.
The top 2 teams in your group move on to the round of 16. It was great.
That seems very straightforward and easy to understand, which is why we're getting rid of it, because we're soccer and we need to make it more difficult for some reason.
First time in 21 years that there are not going to be 32 teams anymore. All right.
How many years?
First time in 21 years that there's a change.
So if you are under the age of 40, this is probably going to be a, like, you probably are not going to remember the last time this.
I don't know what it was before that.
I'm 42, and I definitely wasn't paying attention to Champions League like I do now back in, what would that be, 2003?
Yeah.
I was not paying attention the same way that I do now to Champions League. So if you're older than that or you've been paying attention since you were a little kid, maybe you'll remember this. But for most of us, this is going to be new.
The third place team in the original groups would drop down to Europa League. That's gone now. So, like, there will be no teams in the Champions League this year that can drop either down to conference or down to Europa. Like, that is...
Really?
That's over. So, wow. that is done. Now, there are 36 teams, so they've added 4. And now you can't just add a group and have 9, because then you would
then
have
you're off.
Trouble.
Everything's off.
So,
right.
What they have done is they have potted the teams according to UEFA's coefficient, okay? Don't ask me about the coefficient. I know nothing about the coefficient, but it's the biggest teams, right? I mean, it's a Real Madrid, City, Bayern, PSG, Liverpool, Inter, Dortmund, Leipzig, and Barcelona. Those are like your teams from pot one. So,
is this their like compromise? Like, hey, we didn't get to do Super League,
so we're kind of
doing it by saying, oh, you're all like big clubs that everyone likes. You're in pot one.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
And then you have 8 teams in pot 2, you have 8 teams in pot 3, and you have 8 teams in pot 4, right?
So that equals
1, 2, 3,
32.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, sorry, 9 teams in each
nine,
pot.
9, 9, 9.
You
okay.
have 9
that
teams in each pot. So instead of the traditional draw, like where they used to swirl around like the Champions League balls and pull out who you were going to play,
that's
gone.
We're not
going
to be swirling our balls anymore.
They said it would take literally like up to like 35 hours to do this all if they did like that actual draw. So what they've done is they have now a computer is in charge of it.
Oh.
Because of all the models, because you can't play.
No way that can be corrupted.
You can't, exactly. You can't play a team from your same league in Champions League before the knockout phase. So there was a bunch of different options for teams obviously to be playing. So they have like pre-written the code that does not exist. Apparently.
Again, I believe, I understand what, yes, that makes sense, right? That we don't want to have like 2 English Premier League teams playing in this early stage of it, because it's like, that's the beauty of this, is we want this to be not...
Yeah, in an international competition.
But also the fact that you're like, oh, we're just going to let the Magic computer tell us what it is.
Yeah.
Remember the BCS? Maybe you don't, but I do, and that was a disaster.
Remember a couple of years ago when they did this Champions League draw and then they had to delay it because something was wrong with it? And
oh, yeah,
it was like
that's
a five-hour disaster for them.
Yeah.
Anyways, the new format is going to be this. There are 36 teams. There are four pots of nine. Take Real Madrid, for example, Bone. We will take them out of pot number one.
Sure.
A pot.
There,
pot
yep, there
the
you
reigning
go.
Winners of this tournament. They will play two teams from pot one. Okay. They will play two teams from pot two.
Okay.
They will play two teams from pot three, and they will play two teams from pot four. So you will now have eight group stage Champions League games because they will both be home and away fixtures. Now, we have done away with the groups as well. The group play is all done, divided into, you know, eight or nine groups. That's all gone. It is one gigantic table. It is one gigantic table that we are keeping track of.
I forgot
about
this.
And points and goal differences and everything. Now, if your team...
So they're, I mean, again, I'm not defending them. Yeah. They are literally trying to be as on the nose as possible with Champions League.
Champions
League.
Like,
they are basically saying, yeah, like a table, that's what we're doing.
Yes.
So you, but your schedules are all going to be off.
Yeah.
One team could have a schedule that is, where I'm sure we will, when we see all these results, we're going to look at one team and go, they've got the easiest path.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at one team and go, ooh, buddy, they got screwed. That sucks for them. And that's, so now we're going to just look at results based off of schedule.
And not groupings, like a group of death. Yes.
Again, like, I know that you can get put into groups of death, but back when it was just a random pull of a ball, it's like, hey, chance has happened that you're in a pot with two other really good teams, two other really bad teams, and one kind of middle team.
Ajax, Chelsea, Bayern Munich, and like Juventus, right? Like that would be like, man, that group's going
to
be great.
Like my guys, Aston Villa, they're in this, right?
Yeah.
They're coming in. This is their Champions League. They get to play in Champions League this year.
Yep.
When their draw comes out, there is a chance that they get like Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, and they won't get Manchester City, right? Theoretically?
Theoretically, they won't get either City, Liverpool, or Arsenal.
Yes, right. So then let's say they get those two and PSG.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to, you know, don't you think?
I mean, you will play two of these teams, Real Madrid, Bayern, PSG, Inter, Dortmund, Leipzig, or Barcelona.
Right.
You will play two of those.
But what I'm saying is, like, let's say you get, you know, like a grouping like that, and suddenly they have, I don't know, whatever on their schedule, they're going to have a schedule that I could see someone looking at and going, that seems way harder.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I guess if you're saying they play eight Champions League games, so they're not playing home and away.
Yeah, they are.
They're playing four teams twice?
They are playing...
Like four home and aways? Is that right?
I don't know.
Or are they just playing eight games?
I think they're playing eight games, four home, four away.
But not against, like, in knockout. Right, so you might have a home game, say, against,
Real
like...
Real Madrid.
Yeah, and your away game maybe also against, like... Yeah, whatever. Okay.
You'll have one home, one away. See, we're working this
out. It's so damn confusing.
We're working this out on the fly. So I'm imagining, I do have the rules in front of me, but I can't find it in the rules.
No.
So Aston Villa are a fourth potted team. So
they're going to play some, right.
So you will play one team from pot one on the road. You will play one team from pot one at home. Same for.
Got it. Okay.
Second,
so
same from.
Yeah, so
same
it's
from
not
third,
a home and home with
fourth.
Any team. Okay. Well, then that's
just kind of the luck of the draw.
So it is, I understand that. But what I can already see, and again, I'm cynical, there are going to be a lot of fans who are going to watch this and go, this one team, it seems like, got a really easy path.
Yeah.
And this other team got a really hard path. And it doesn't feel fair. And again, I know that, like, Manchester City, any draw they get is going to seem easier than maybe, say, Aston Villa's draw. Because Manchester City is perceived to be that much better, so they would be, you know, looked at as like, oh yeah, they could beat team X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Villa may be looked at as like, oh, they're going to struggle playing those same teams. But
so
this is still going to lead to people saying, my guys got screwed, this other team got an easy road, we didn't play the same games, they got through, we didn't, FIFA hates us, UEFA hates us, whatever.
Now, the only then combatant against that is that there is a little more leeway to make the knockout rounds, because teams who finished 36th through 25th in the table after these eight games are played are dropped from the competition.
Oh, okay? That's right.
So they're dropped. Teams who have finished 9 through 24 are going to remain in the competition, play a home and away knockout phase. teams who finish 1-8 automatically get a bye into the round of 16.
Okay. So the knockout round, you're basically adding a knockout
round. Adding an entirely new knockout round.
Okay. There's the money grab.
Well, so it's the two additional games for each team and an entirely different home and away phase knockout round.
Yeah. So a nice thing for the higher level teams that are coming from pot one are presumably going to get a little bit of an easier road. So it's your, I guess, however.
Well, not technically, because they still have to play pot one teams. Because in the old Champions League, you wouldn't have to.
That's right.
Because you would be pot one.
All right. Well, you know what?
I guess we have to see it.
Well, I will try to keep an open mind. You obviously can tell I'm not a big fan of change.
When the draw happens today at noon,
you already know.
At Aston Villa's schedule.
You'll already know this by the time you hear this podcast, by the time it's posted. You already know what these schedules look like. We'll talk about them next week, but go look at them and see if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they're all like fairly equal and nice. But I will try to keep my mind open for this whole season to watch this unfold.
We got to get you over to Aston Villa if they play Madrid. If they play Real Madrid in a Champions League game.
We get a Laura Quinn jersey. Get a split right down the middle. Get a half Luca and half John McGinn, I guess. I'll do a little split.
Luca McGinn, your guy.
Luke again.
Vinny McGinn.
Yeah.
Vinnigan.
Real quick before we get out of here, Middlesbrough. Yeah. They are a team I'm trying to pay more attention to this year, obviously, because they are now the hosts of one Aiden Morris, and I love watching him play, and so do Middlesbrough fans. They have been very happy with his play through the first few games of the season, to the point, this was illustrated this week to me in a new way, they played in the Carabao Cup, I don't remember against who, and it was very clear from watching this game, or from seeing the scores of this game, it did not seem like they put out their top lineup for this.
Like the crew did in Philadelphia last night?
And won. Mm-hmm. And again, unbelievable. But again, Middlesbrough is no Columbus Crew, to be fair.
Correct.
They went out, though, and they got drilled. I think it was 5-0 was the scoreline I saw at one point. So this game was over. But in the 60th, 70th minute, they put Aiden Morris in. He was
Stoke.
Oh, okay. It was
lost
Stoke.
To Timmy's guys.
Okay. There you go. Stoke City. So they put Aiden Morris in the 70th minute. And I saw this post because it said in, Aiden Morris out, whoever they took off for him. And the scoreline said 5-0. So the posts underneath of it were Middlesbrough fans. And almost every post said, what are we doing? Why? Don't risk him. Don't put our golden boy out there. This game's already lost. We know we're not trying for this. They're trying to get promoted to the Premier League next year. That's all they want to do. They're focusing on that. So no Carabao Cup. Who cares? They don't want Aiden Morris to be risked in the last part of this game because that's how much they already rate him.
Yeah.
I love it. This is warming my heart as a Crew fan. So very cool to see yet again. I hope to keep watching him. And if you haven't checked in, I believe the championship matches are all on Paramount Plus, or not all of them, a selection of them every week. So go check it every week and see which 5 or 6 they have. I'm sure we'll put some Middlesbrough game on because they know, U.S. fans will probably tune into games like
your guys
that.
Leading the charge. Three games, 9 points.
Sunderland are tearing it up right now. I actually just bought a Sunderland shirt off of.
You did. You got one.
I finally got one, and it was. It's not a jersey, but I think it looks cooler. It's a training. I don't even know if it's training. It's a polyester top, but it's got a pattern on it that would have made a cool jersey. Okay. When I get it, I'll put a picture out there so you can see.
We'll just wear it.
Why? Well, no, I'm saying I'll put a picture out for the. I know I'll wear it around you.
Yeah, okay.
They don't all come to work with me.
It's just
Beam.
You and me in this booth, and I forgot that we were recording.
Yeah, but this shirt is pretty cool. So I wanted to get my Sunderland shirt. I need something. The only one I have is a black jersey, and I need something with red on it. Couldn't get the red and white jersey, but
sold out.
This has a lot of red on it, so I'll take it for now. Anything else for us?
United Liverpool Sunday.
Oh yeah,
11 a.m.
Big rivalry game. Let's see if I can get to City Tavern coming out with you.
If you're a Liverpool fan, you can go down to local cantina down in the German Village. And
is it McFadden's?
McClellan's.
McClellan's. That's McClellan's. Right. Up off Sawmill?
Yes.
Yes.
You can go there too.
Yeah.
If
like right
Liverpool
off Sawmill
fan.
270, not far from where they play beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Right across the street from
right there.
Yeah.
I'll be doing that. Sunday.
All right. Well, maybe I'll see you there.
We're going to win.
I'll see you out there.
I think we're going to win.
I love it. I love the confidence.
Got beat by Brighton on the road with a last-minute goal the other day.
Who
Don't
cares?
Want to talk about it. But
who cares?
It's Liverpool. I think we're going to win.
There we go. Beautiful.
Great day for an ass-whooping and a candy apple. I don't see any candies around. or apples. I messed up that saying.
It's all good. It's fine. We'll try to get it right next week. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.